Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithseanorourke.
2 weeks ago, Shane Hegarty wrote his final column in the Irish Times. In the year before that, he gave up his role as the newspaper's arts editor after landing a staggering 4-book deal with HarperCollins Children for his young adult series Dartmouth. The first instalment is published this week, and it's just been announced that the film rights have been sold for a substantial amount. Shane is with me in studio to talk about the book and indeed the film. Good morning to you, Shane.
Good morning, Sean.
Where did it all start to go right for you?
It sounds very nice when you put it like that. It's been great, I have to say. You know, you start writing a book, as I did maybe 3 years ago now, and really you start writing it for yourself. And I've written a couple of history books before, one of them which I wrote with Fintan O'Toole, which is still on the shelves, and then a second one which, if anybody wants a copy, I have a couple of boxes of survivors under my desk. So I kind of appreciate what it's like to write a book that at first you really just do for the love of it and the enjoyment, and you don't know if anybody will ever see it. So it's a lovely day today to know that it'll be on all the bookshelves.
Yeah, and as I said, quite a big, a substantial deal. There was a bit of competition to get the rights to the book. Just tell me about Dartmouth and the story.
So the story is, it's a book that's written for, I suppose, kind of officially 9 to 12-year-olds, but I do genuinely like to think that anybody from kind of 9 to 90 would enjoy it. And it's a story of, I kind of wondered what it would be like if you had a town in which legends of myth, monsters of myth still invaded, and it was the last town on earth that this happened, and you had a family there who for 1,000 years it had been their job to stop them coming in, and there was one last legend hunter left, and he has to pass the role on to his 12-year-old son, his only child, this boy, Finn. And what would it be like if that boy wasn't particularly good at it, didn't want to do it, didn't enjoy it? And that's the story of Dartmouth. It's really the story of this 12-year-old boy, Finn, who it's set in Ireland, who has a year in which he has to become as great as his father, really.
It's being handed on from father to son.
But not just father and son, through all the generations, daughters, mothers, everybody. So it's very much, well, it's a fantasy story. It's set in kind of modern Ireland, but it's a fantasy story. Really, I kind of like to think of it as much as a kind of very grounded, very human story. It's a story as much about that kind of relationship between a father and a son, and between a parent and a child. His mother is a dentist, and who kind of married into the family and sort of has her own life and watches as her husband tries to kind of effectively get his son to live his own dream. So
right, and there are some very impressive illustrations, quite scary in spots too. In the early pages, there's this creature called a minotaur. Now, yeah. What exactly is, or so is he or she or it?
We open with a minotaur, which are those sort of half bull, half humanoid creatures, which kind of crashes into the town. And we meet Finn as he kind of starts off to chase the minotaur, but in the end ends up being chased by the minotaur. And so it's set, the town is a sort of a mix of Dingle, which is a town I love and which has all these kind of lovely laneways, and you, especially if you're fresh to the town, you walk down one street and you pop up on another and you're not sure exactly where you are. And then Skerries, where I live, and I am on just 20 miles north of here in Dublin, and I kind of imagined what it'd be like if a town had been invaded by monsters for 1,000 years. How would people react? So the towns are a mix of sort of seaside Irish town with really high walls and narrow laneways and bars on windows and kind of jagged glass
and lots
on
of
walls.
Chases and close run things.
And then lots of people who are sort of stuck in the town, because who's going to buy a house in a town like that?
Now, I understand, Shane, that you got the book deal based on a partial manuscript. Now, how did that come about? I suppose it must have been very good for starters.
Well, I was very lucky in that I have a wonderful agent, Marianne Gunn O'Connor, who people might also know as Cecilia Hearn's agent. And Marianne was just fantastic. And she would have encouraged me from the beginning. She would have seen it at a very early stage and encouraged me to keep writing and keep writing. And there was a point I remember. I was actually in Hollis Street waiting on the birth of our twins, and I got a note from Marianne saying, "Look, this, I really love this. When can you finish it?" And this was Christmas in 2012, and I sort of said Easter, and had no idea how I was going to finish it. But so I spent 3 months just writing on trains in the evenings, weekends, every holiday that I had, while my wife Maeve looked after the twins very, very well, and her other two children, I should say, four kids. And I just had that moment, Marianne, just felt it was good enough to bring out. There was a book fair in Italy in 2013, Bologna. And I had that great moment that every writer dreams of, where to the soundtrack of Screaming Twins, I have to say, I got a call from her to say, look, we have a choice. And I got an opportunity with HarperCollins, who are a great publisher. So I would have looked and seen other great writers such as Derek Landy, who writes Skullduggery Pleasant, Oliver Jeffers, who writes those brilliant picture books, and they're HarperCollins authors. And I just, I had to pinch myself that I had this opportunity to go with them.
And you didn't need, or you didn't have available to you, maybe in an ideal world you'd have loved to have a quiet room, but literally to the chug of the dart, you got about finishing this.
I learned that you have to, I mean, the art of writing, somebody, I don't know who it was, said it, but the art of writing, they say, is the art of backside on chair. And it's just that you write, you sit down and you do it. And I would have had the laptop on my knee, or I would have been sitting in the corridors of the trains coming up from Skerries and back every day. And then there was a 2 week holiday where I left the house every day as if I was going to work, and went to the National Library in Dublin and just wrote, and realised I wasn't the only person there who was writing. I met somebody else who's writing a play. And so it's, you find the time. I think you have to make the time.
And how did one book become four?
Well, I always had an idea that if there was interest in it, maybe it would be three. And I had thought about it as a three book story. And then HarperCollins asked for four, and I wasn't going to say no. So I had, so it makes you rethink things a little bit. So while Darkmouth, the first book out today, is a story in its own right, it's actually the first part of a much, much bigger story.
So is Finn an Irish version, latter more modern day version of Harry Potter?
No, I don't think so. Partly because I wouldn't be that familiar with the Harry Potter books, actually.
He might be.
Well, possibly. Well, I know the films, and I know the story, and I know the character, and obviously I know the books, but I wouldn't have read them in the sort of depth. And probably I was a little older, maybe, than not quite the Harry Potter generation. I would have grown up reading Douglas Adams and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Roald Dahl. And I love the idea of a hero who is maybe not particularly competent, who's really unsure of himself. He's very much, he's a 12-year-old, kind of very much like I was, I suppose. You feel, you don't feel particularly confident in the world. You don't feel particularly good at things, and you're always struggling to kind of impress people around you. So
your own vulnerabilities are reflected in this.
Absolutely. And funny, I don't think there are things that you lose really as you grow up, but there's sometimes you can tap back into it. And so it'd be very much that idea, because I have always loved characters who struggle and heroes who maybe become heroes despite themselves.
So are you maybe there in at least part of two of the characters, Finn and the dad in this book?
Yes, definitely the dad, because I would have been one of those. He's nine now, my son Oisin, and he's a great fella, but I would have been one of those dads who would have stood on the side of the rugby pitch and the GAA pitch and sort of gone, go on, will you go on there, even when he wasn't particularly keen on doing it when he was very young. And I realised I was one of those dads who sort of pushes their kids into doing it because it's what you want them to do, and you feel that this is what they should do, and it's good for them, and this is what all the other people are doing and all the other dads. So definitely that would be, I would fill that role as well.
Were you bookish yourself as a kid?
Oh, I was, yeah. I read a huge amount. Especially the, said the likes of Roald Dahl, and even things like Asterix, which because the book is full of what I hope is kind of good humour and a kind of a nice kind of fun tone to it.
Now, just the idea of writing, and you say ideally everybody will want to read it, but particularly you have in mind maybe 10 to 13-year-olds. Are you mindful then, or is there a difficulty on the one hand of not scaring them and then not wanting to patronise them either?
I find that one of the great things about having a son who's kind of growing up is I actually see how much, I think a lot of us already know as adults how good films are for kids of that age and how smart they are and how intelligent. There's the same with books. I mean, there's such brilliant books, Derek Landy, Owen Colfer, David Walliams, There's just an enormous amount of really, really great quality stuff there. And then television as well, shows that we maybe overlook, animations like Adventure Time and Regular Show, which are things which I think a lot of listeners wouldn't be familiar with, but they may know it as something that their kids are watching and they don't really get. They're crazy, funny, imaginative series. So oddly, I think a lot of I gain the confidence in a way to say you can write a book that's fun and adventurous and funny, but which is smart and which tries to engage with readers and young readers properly, you know, and just in a straight way that takes into account that they're really smart and sophisticated and they're used to reading and watching stuff that's really, really strong.
And tell me about this this movie deal then.
Well, we got to announce it this week and it was fantastic because I would have signed just before Christmas. And again, you have these moments and you really do need somebody to pinch you sometimes because it had been in the ether. And I know that Marianne, my agent, had been working unbelievably hard on it. But so there's a company in the US called Alcon and they've been very keen on it. And I would have met a producer in Dublin about 3 months ago and they get the humour and the fun and they get the father-son element of it and they get, I think, the Irish element of it because it's quite an Irish book in some respects and they want to turn it into a live action. They've made a lot of films, really great films like The Blind Side, so hopefully we'll get to see it on the big screen in the next few years.
Congratulations on it, Shane, and the next one due in August. I can already see those queues forming outside the bookshops. And
we launch in Easons tonight on O'Connell Street.
Okay, well, very good. Thanks indeed for coming in. Shane Hegarty, formerly of the Irish Times, now author of Dartmouth, and we look forward to seeing the movie when it comes.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.